Pamela Brownell is Franklin County's emergency management director. She's not an out-of-towner coming in to help with disaster relief. This is her community. Brownell knows better than most. For small towns, the numbers don't always tell the whole story.
When you look at 36 homes that are gone in a community of 125 homes, that's a lot. It's devastating to this small county.
But beyond the tragic images of East Point residents sifting through the ashes that used to be their homes, vehicles, and possessions, there's some hidden subtext. Brownell knows the story of East Point is one of a struggling industry and dedicated oyster fishermen and women.
Most of them are seafood workers. They work the oyster industry, which is, everybody knows that, you know, that has dwindled down, and they're trying to bring the bay back as hard as they can, but, you know, that's their income, and a lot of boats got burned, so they can't go to work.
Franklin County's property appraiser has estimated total damage from the fire at just over $1.7 million. Brownell says it is now on Governor Rick Scott to call for federal funding, which she says the community needs.
We've checked. There's no FEMA trailers. This is not a federal disaster. We're still waiting on our governor to do an executive order for us, and if he does that, then it turns on a few more faucets for us.
At the time of this story's writing, Governor Scott still has not issued an executive order. A statement from the governor's office says if state resources can't meet Franklin County's need, the move will be considered. Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam on Wednesday announced he knew the cause of the fire, a prescribed burn. According to Putnam, the burn was carried out by a company called Wildland Fire Services Incorporated. Putnam says the company was under contract with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. But in a subsequent statement, the FWC did not blame the company. Instead, the agency says an investigation is still active and it will, quote, hold any entity found responsible for wrongdoing fully accountable. The FWC declined to do an interview for this story. Meanwhile, the agency has since suspended its prescribed burn program. That could prove frustrating for scientists and fire researchers who believe in the long-running practice. David Godwin is a program coordinator for Southern Fire Exchange, a program run between the University of Florida, Tall Timbers Research Station, and North Carolina State University.
Prescribed fires are the way that we need to, you know, most efficiently and effectively manage our ecosystems, and also to manage our fuels to reduce the likelihood of wildfires.
That's Godwin speaking during the Prescribed Fire Science Consortium several months ago. He says a good deal of outreach is done by fire researchers to inform the public of benefits of the practice. While the factors that caused it are being pinpointed, one lifelong East Point resident says the conditions were ripe for a fire. Evelyn Carroll is a parishioner at East Point First Baptist, where she's volunteering after the fire to provide clothing, supplies, showers, and even lodging for the displaced.
We haven't had rain for a while. It's been really dry. Your grass is crackly. You know, it's been that dry.
Carol says she can remember another disaster that rocked the small community, but it's not easily comparable to the wildfire.
It's been the biggest disaster we've had, except in 85 when a hurricane hit and killed our oysters. And we couldn't oyster for about 2 years. So this has been as far as homes. Even in hurricanes, we haven't lost homes.
While she's tending to walk-ins, displaced people and families in need, Carol is careful not to simply offer prayers. Even in her faith life, she says action is called for during disaster.
We got to do something instead of just telling them, okay, it's going to get better. We got to do something to try to make it better.
State Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis announced days after the fire that up to $5,000 is being offered to each victim as temporary support.
What we're trying to do is help those families that were displaced by the fire have basically a supplemental living support to help them find rent, clothes, you know, a way to put, a roof over the head of their children.
Patronis praised the state's responses to disasters. He says non-governmental organizations play a part.
You know, in the state of Florida, you know, we tend to, at least in my opinion, handle disasters very well. We collaborate well together with all of the private, public, non-for-profit, and government entities together to try to bring the resources.
One of those organizations is the Red Cross. Diana Van Horn, a Red Cross public affairs and disaster training specialist, says many of those waiting for help don't have insurance.
In a community like East Point, where it's a small, close-knit community and they may not have as many resources as other places might, you know, they may be like me and not have insurance. And so if something happened to my house, I would be devastated because I would have lost everything and have no quick financial way, or even a slow financial way, knowing insurance, to help build it back. So it's devastating, and so it's great that the community pulls together.
And East Point is doing just that, pulling together. Charles Brannon, who's been in the community more than 40 years, sat outside his house for hours in the days after the fire, collecting and distributing bags of free dog food. The fire only missed his home by 50 yards. He says a change of direction in wind was his only saving grace. Most everyone affected by the fire, he knows.
It's pretty neat. You know, when somebody gets down, the neighbors help them out, and that's what's built this little old town right here, and we're going to try to continue that.
Meanwhile, with few available rental properties in the area, Florida's Department of Emergency Management says it is coordinating with companies like Airbnb to identify available spaces. For WFSU News, I'm Ryan Daly.